Test, test, 1, 2, 1, 2. And now you can hear me as well. But you heard me without a microphone as well. So it's just for recording. Yeah, it's cool. So thank you very much. Let's start for joining and attending this presentation this time. It's kind of a follow-up what we did before. Before I did a rough explanation of what Zev is, and now the follow-up is how to manage the whole stuff. I would like to talk about this manager dashboard. Same thing as before. If you're interested in, just scan the QR code. You will directly redirect it to the link. It's hosted on GitHub, written in Reveal, because someone asked me before. It's written in Reveal.js, and it scales down to any device. I could do a separate presentation afterwards about this. This is amazing thing. So let's start. Today we would like to talk about Zev Manager Dashboard. When I say we, I mean my lovely colleague Laura Paduano and myself. I'm Kai. And yeah, just the content for today. Another quick introduction, just to let you know who we are, then some kind of history to get a better understanding about the background, where we're coming from. Therefore, we have to talk about OpenEdic. And yes, this has nothing to do with, it's not a specific part of a house. It's a different discussion. Someone in Germany tried to find a cool name for a storage solution that could be complicated. So it seems like German folks are not that good in finding English storage solution names. That's how we ended up with an OpenEdic. Second thing is the dashboard V1. Finally, we're switching to dashboard V2. And if the Wi-Fi will work, and I hope so, we'll have a live demo prepared. And more people joining. Welcome. Nice to have you. So let's start with a quick introduction. I think I talked about myself already. Name is clear. Same thing like before. You can find me on OFTC in the separate different channels. We both are from Fulda, or near Fulda. It's in the middle of Hesse, middle of Germany. Somehow hidden, our date of birth, amazing. And once I updated the slide, or those slides, I figured out maybe it's not the best idea to write the hours down, because then I figured out, oh man, I have the feeling I'm getting old, because the hours are so many already. So maybe I will change this. So this is enough from an introduction, and obviously we both are from Suzy. Quick history to get a better understanding. And for the history, as I said, would like to start with the OpenEdic. Cool name, what is it? Someone heard it maybe before. OpenEdic was founded in 2011, so quite some while ago. And initially, OpenEdic looked like that. And what it was made for? It was made for managing just the local appliance storage piece of hardware to create some LVM shares on top, share it via NFS, iSCSI, SIFS, also Fibre Channel. I was proud of that one. Fibre Channel was possible. And you could create snapshots and all those things, but just on one on a single instance. Later on, we ported and you were able to add another storage, and we supported DRBD as well. You could create DRBD shares within the UI. That's how the whole thing started. So I would say a single unified web UI solution to storage, to manage just one piece. Afterwards, roughly 2.5, 3 years later, 2014, we added the initial Zev support, because we figured out, sounds like Zev is a cool project. Maybe we should also do something in the UI, as we have it already. And the first thing we've added was that. What is that? That's the visualization of the crush map. And if you've attended my talk beforehand, you know the crush map is the topology of the cluster, and you can build it. That's cool. And we thought it was cool. And it's still in the current upstream version of OpenEdic, but we modified just one thing. In the initial version, this was possible to edit this crush tree and to add new rules to the crush map. And you could also track and drop every entry in this tree. And then you could just click on apply, and that's it. No further notification, nothing. Just we thought that's cool to modify the crush map. But we figured out that people, customers, whoever, will use it. And they will change something, click on apply, and then they are kind of screwed. And then they call you, why the hell is my cluster stuck and I can't use it anymore and it's busy almost 100%. That's when we realized, okay, we make it a read-only mode. We removed the edit functionality, and that's how we end up today. What we currently have in mind is to rework it or redesign it completely to have more or less like a wizard-based solution where you could create new rules and then you get informed how many data will be reshuffled, for example, if you apply those rules to your cluster. Are you really, really sure? Please, I don't know, kind of contact your administrator, your boss, and someone else before you apply that. After that, 2 years later, the initial collaboration started with Suzy. And with Suzy, once we started that, we added some initial graphing, visualization of the Ceph cluster, some really basic stuff. And only a few months later, in November, obviously, we were the first acquisition ever made by Suzy. I'm still not 100% sure if they've just tested us for a few months and if this was just a trial. It's okay, we give them some money, we test them, is the team really a good idea or should we buy them or not? And then in November, finally, they didn't bought us. That's not legal in Germany. They bought the project and usually, I don't know, surprisingly, we are now part of Suzy. I know how this belongs. Here's a picture of the people. Laura was already there. You are almost there from the beginning, right? So joined, I don't know, a few months after we initially started in 2011. And then since 2017, we're focusing on Ceph only. So, since OpenEdit version 3.x, we focused on Ceph only. The reasons are really easy, because beforehand we supported multi-distros like Debian, Ubuntu, CentOS, we built several packages and added all the functionalities. Now, being part of a bigger company with some kind of a roadmap, with a product behind. Yeah, the problem is we were still just 9, 10 developers at least, and supporting all those different distributions plus adding the whole features they told us, yeah, wasn't doable. That's why we traded off the multi-distro support and also the local storage management, so we removed the whole part, so there's nothing left in the current version anymore. That's how it ended up. So the current OpenEdit version 3.x looks like that. This already includes Grafana into the UI, and the backend or the data that Grafana is gathering is stored in a time series database called Prometheus. And that's completely automatically deployed via DeepSea. If you use the salt-based solution that we have, this whole stuff is set up automatically. So, we talked about OpenEdit, that's the rough history. Now we're talking about Dashboard V1. That's another thing to understand the whole full picture. Initially, with Ceph Luminous, there was the so-called Ceph Manager dashboard added, and we call it the Dashboard V1. You were able to see some the Ceph health, some initial logs, some performance counters, also a list of OSDs, which was quite nice, as well as images, mirroring, all those stuff. Backend was written in Python and used CherryPy, and the front end was written in Rivet.js. That's how the whole thing started. But this here, yeah, that's just a picture how it looks like, or it looked like. It wasn't, remember that it's important later, it wasn't PLEC. Just keep that in mind, I said it, so I will come to back to that later. It's in PLEC, that's how it looked like. And after Luminous was released, they started to adding new features, RGW details, a monitoring list, some perf counters, as well as a browser to browse all the configurations available within the Ceph cluster, which was quite nifty. The problem was Dashboard V1 has some limitations. First of all, it was a read-only dashboard, so you couldn't manage anything. You could take a look at something, but if you would like to create an RBD device, share something, that wasn't possible. No built-in authentication, neither at least a username or a password, doesn't matter, nothing. Everyone could just connect to it. And from our perspective, a limited functionality was Rivet.js. That's our point of view. That's how we ended up with the next one, and then I would like to hand over to Laura.
Thanks. So this is about the Dashboard V2 So it started in January 2018 that there was a general discussion about the old dashboard and the future of that dashboard. And our idea was to contribute the part that was already in OpenAttic as a new dashboard, so dashboard V2. And we discussed that with Sage and John. And so we decided to create a proof of concept. And yeah, then we decided to use Angular. The other dashboard used another technology, but since we already used Angular for OpenAttic, we decided to go with Angular as well. And yeah, at the end of February, around there, we created a development branch for the dashboard V2, where we kind of migrated all of our work from the OpenAttic, from the old OpenAttic, to that development branch, so we could create a pull request against Ceph with a new dashboard replacement. And yeah, on March 6th, our version of the dashboard was merged, and there we had the feature parity with the dashboard V1. And yeah, there we submitted over 150 pull requests, and 122 were merged. And since we've merged that first version of our dashboard, we already submitted over 170 pull requests, and more than 140 pull requests have been merged. And yeah, currently there's a lot of groundwork going on. We have to build the foundation for the new dashboard. And here's an overview of the dashboard, what's already there and what we use. In the backend we have Python, and we use CherryPy. And as I mentioned, we use Angular 5 for the web UI. And yeah, because we already used it in OpenAttic, so we are really familiar with that. And currently we have username and password for the login. Yeah, and as mentioned, we have the features that are in dashboard V1 already in our dashboard for the master of Ceph. And yeah, there are additional management features integrated, but also some we are still working on. So what we have in the back end, what we build on top of the dashboard V1 version, is a task management. We have a browsable REST API, but that is also currently being changed again with a new replacement. We have RBD management, we have RGW bucket and user management, and Ceph pool management. That is also in the front end. For example, the Ceph pool management and the RBD management. We have the RGW management in the front end, erasure-coded pool profile management, and the task manager as well. You have a window where you could see running tasks, because if a task takes longer, then yeah, just creating something and you can instantly see it, then you have a small pop-up window where you can see the progress of that task. So just to inform the user that is something that takes longer and is going on. We have tooltips, so if you go over with a mouse over some items, you get additional information about it. And we also have a usage bar component to show some graphs in the UI. And what's next is the Grafana proxy. That is something which is being developed for the back end, so we can then integrate Grafana into the front end. Still, Ceph pool management is in progress, so we can edit pools, for example. What is also in progress is for the backend, currently cluster-wide Ceph OSD management, so we can set flags for OSD, which are then applied cluster-wide. We have a settings editor that is also a work in progress. That is a page where you can see all settings from the cluster that are active currently. The plan is to have that as an editor, so you can change Ceph configuration settings in that page. Also translation, localization is a topic. So we have the dashboard in different languages. Currently, Spanish is being translated to Spanish. We have also German. And if someone wants to contribute with localization, that is also something we appreciate. And what's also next is user permissions. So you can set user permissions, for example, for add actions or edit actions, if you want to create something or if you want to delete something. So we wanted to, the idea was to have that per page. So you can allow a user to go to the pools page and create a pool, or you can just unset that and the user is not really allowed to do something on that page except for kind of read-only. That is also something that is being worked on. So I don't know if we have luck with the Wi-Fi.
That's it. One thing maybe worth to mention is right now what we're trying to achieve is we try to convert or to reach feature parity with the old OpenMatic. So all the functionalities that we have had, the management functionalities, we try to port them into the new upstream included dashboard. There are some problems that we're currently facing because we have to choose an orchestrator somehow, or make it more or less modular, that we can support multiple deployment tools like Ceph, Ansible, various shell scripts, whatever, and DeepSea, for example, our Salt-based version from SUSE, so to support all of them. And that's what we're currently trying to achieve. And as soon as we achieve that, we will add more and more functionality on top. But from our end, the cool stuff is that as soon as you now install Ceph Mimic, you will get the dashboard by default. And there's no third-party dashboard needed anymore. And this will definitely improve for Nautilus, which is planned to be released by the beginning of first quarter next year. So just as a heads up, let's take a look if my Wi-Fi is working or not. Ta-da! Yay! Should I press F5? I don't know. I'll just show you the login page because we have one. And if the Wi-Fi is not working anymore, it's awesome, right? So this is what I can show you. Let me try to log in. In former talks, I did the bad joke that our old login screen looked completely the same. The only thing that was different was the logo and the name. It was Welcome to OpenMatic instead of Welcome to Ceph, and the logo was different. And in former presentations, I just showed this as the newest thing that we've developed, and that's it. So that's cool. Let's try to log in, please, please. Yeah, amazing. And one thing to mention, I mentioned it. You know what? Yay, exactly. And this already started several conversations. I hate those conversations, but there are several conversations because it seems like a lot of people like the old black color, and I know that someone is already working on a theming PR just to make it possible to change the colors of the UI, because why not? That's the most important part that we should work on. Obviously, given that we are now based on the old, or that we try to re-implement the old dashboard, it looks totally familiar. We have at least an overview overall health status. You get a list of how many monitors do you have, the quorum, how many OSDs, a list of pools, then the usage bar with an over, this cool little tooltip, that's something that we've added that wasn't part of the old dashboard V1. And then something that OpenMatic does not have is those logs. So you directly get a cluster log and an audit log from the cluster, so you can click on and get direct information from the cluster. So this part is already ahead of what OpenMatic is capable of. Let's switch to the cluster topic or cluster tab. There we have several tabs, for example, the hosts. There you have just a list of hosts, including the services. There's nothing more in it yet. This will change as soon as we have the orchestrator and we can talk to the nodes and we can then interact with them and do specific operations on them. Right now, it's just not possible. From clusters, we have a list of monitors, so at least you get a broader general overview. Then you get a list of monitors. You would get those monitors which are not in quorum, because they are down or have other several problems. You get a list of open sessions. I have six things connected. It's amazing. You get their addresses, and then you can click, for example, on a specific Mon A, and then you get some detailed performance counters from this Mon. Most of them are empty because this is a development system, a development branch, and I just started the VStar cluster, so there's nothing behind. OSD tab, we can list the OSDs, all of them. Then we added those usage things, the read-write bytes. I'm not quite sure if you've seen that they update automatically. Same for write bytes. You get the status of them, and underneath, you get those OSD map. So you get some details from the OSD specifically, as well as you can get details for the metadata. Same for performance counters. So you get some data for this specific OSD ID 0, what was collected, and then the histogram. This was part of Dashboard V1 was implemented, so maybe we have to redesign that. But as I said, we converted it, so that's for USD. A cool thing, that's what we mentioned with the configuration browser, and I hope my Wi-Fi is still working. Seems like not, I don't know. At least I wanted to show you. If it's not possible, I will explain what it does. It will list unknown error. That's amazing. It will list all configuration items within your cluster. And the cool thing is you can change the level. So you have at least a basic level, an advanced, and a development level. So in the basic level, you get, I don't know, if you select an OSD, you get four different variables you can change, or four values. If you change to advanced, you get, I don't know, 50, and development 100. So that's the idea. And what we're currently working on is the editor of this configuration list that we have right here. But plus, we would like to show the default, how the default looks like, and then mark those you have changed manually, mark them red or highlight them, that you know, okay, I changed those variables, and maybe because of given reasons, and then you can also adapt and change. That's cool for live demo. That's always the case, right? Seems like it's not. I had Wi-Fi once. I still have. Oh, my VPN dropped because of reasons. Let me give it a try to reconnect. Don't we have someone here from SUSE Infra who can fix the... just kidding. Let me see if let me create an internal ticket. Yeah, that's possible. Please send me an email that the exchange or whatever server is down. Yes, of course, that's a great idea. Chicken and egg. It's connecting. Do I have Wi-Fi here? Or do I have at least... You have? Let me create a hotspot. We are flexible, right? We are kind of agile, so I create a hotspot. I don't care. Let me change. Let me check, and then now I have Edge. That would be amazing. Let me connect. And let me check. Yeah, my hotspot is working. Round of applause is amazing. Let me check if it's working or if it's not. And there is the configuration editor, or no, just browser, sorry. I'm back. Thank you, mobile device in 21st century. This is what I try to explain. This is how the general overview of the configuration management looks like. Let me select something. For example, I click on OSD. As I said, I had a level of basic. I just get two options I could change, cluster address, public address, and then if I'm more serious, I can change to advanced, for example, and then I get more details, and there's another page you can go to and get more information, and there are several ones, be sure. So if you're really serious, you can do a lot of really cool stuff here. So let's switch to pool. We are listing all the pools that we have within a cluster. And also we're listing the details of the pools underneath. So how is the PG nums, or how many PGs this pool have, for example, or also some performance counters. That's for at least that's for pools. One thing I can show what we add from a management perspective is within Plog, the Plog tab, we're now able to create RBD images. And one thing we've added as well is the possibility to create snapshots of those RBDs. So if I click on snapshot, I have an overview of those snapshots. I just created a test snap. And this snap, for example, right now is protected. And if I want to unprotect it, I can click on, then you'll see, okay, it's a long-running task, takes a bit longer, get a notification, and it's unprotected. So that's something we've developed. And if you want to, for example, create a new one, you can click on add. Let me new OSC RBD. Hey, that's cool, new OSC RBD, 200 max. You can also change the features. For example, and we have some kind of dependencies included. If you have seen OpenMedic before, this was there already the fact, but for example, object map requires exclusive log. So as soon as I remove exclusive log, all of the others are automatically unchecked. And as soon as I click on exclusive log, I can turn on object map and festive again as well. Let me create this. My hotspot is working quite well. And there it is, my new OSD RBD, for example, and now I can create create a snapshot, and then it will create a snapshot on top of this RBD. That's, for example, a functionality that we already added that's ahead of V1. File system. No, there are more. I can show you. There is the mirroring, the iSCSI page. This was already part of V1, but given that I neither configured a mirror nor iSCSI, I can show you empty lists also. As soon as you have a mirror configured or an iSCSI gateway, you have something. But given that usually what we do is just checking out the current master and then we're starting the restart cluster, which sets up a bare minimum cluster for development purposes, it's just overhead to deploy everything. File system, we are able to show the file system, so the CephFS on top. There you can also list the clients, how many which are connected, and also the ranks of the clients. So one thing that's maybe interesting in, or you are interested in, is as soon as you have more than just one, two, three clients, you maybe want to know who of my clients is the one who is, I don't know, training down my whole cluster all the time because he's totally freaking out and doing some weird things. So there you get a list of reads and writes, at least for specific nodes. 10 minutes before our talk, I figured out that I can show you something else, the object gateway, but not the object gateway I wanted to show you, but it's one thing that we've added, and that those are those hints and nodes. So if something is not working, we try to add some hints or some guidelines how to configure it, and here you can see, I'm not quite sure if you can read it, there you get an information and a direct link to the documentation how to configure the object gateway, for example. I just have seen this 5 minutes before I started my talk. Seems like my RGW crashed on my laptop. Maybe it's not the best system to host a Ceph cluster. But just that you know, we're trying to make it as easy usable as possible. When you click on the link, just that you have seen that, click and open a new tab. This will directly redirect you, for example, dashboard plugin, how do you configure enabling the object gateway management frontend within documentation. So no need to just, I don't know, walk through the whole documentation, use Google, or at least read the documentation. I know people hate to read documentations. Background task, just to show you that, that's what I did before. I created, for example, a snapshot on top of this new OSD RBD called Snappy, and there you can see all the tasks that I've done, and also the recent notifications where I've seen this error we got before. Those are listed here, so we have a clue what was going on. That's a general quick walkthrough. As you have seen, if someone has seen the OpenMedic UI beforehand, what's missing, of course, is the iSCSI management. What's missing is NFS management and the whole pool management, for example. As Laura pointed out, is pull requests already created, working on it. And for the whole management stuff, all our hope goes into John, that it's done sooner than later. So that's how an upstream project works. So, but to be totally honest, I'm really, really happy that we were able to convince our internal, I would say, managers that we can push efforts in upstream, and that Sage at least allowed us to do so. So now we have roughly between 10, 11 upstream developers working on the dashboard. And what's even better, beforehand we tried to build up a community with OpenMedic, which was rather complicated because the contributions to OpenMedic were quite low, or I would say not existent at all. And this completely changed since we initially merged the upstream pull request into Ceph. So we now have folks from Red Hat working on a dashboard as well. We get new pull requests, we get fixes. This is totally amazing. So I'm really looking forward to, I don't know, make this UI as usable as possible. And therefore, we need your feedback. So please use it. Just take a look at it. I know their management functionality is almost missing right now, but initial feedback is helpful. And if it's, I want the black theme back, something like that, just feedback that we know, okay, what could be improved, what is missing, maybe just contact us. That would be helpful. And with that, I think we're at the end and we're kind of ask question, right? Let's switch back to here. I don't, if someone has questions about the demo, I will not full screen this presentation now again. So now it's question time. If you have questions, ask them.
So you want people to test it out, etc. How much of this is in Tumbleweed, or would you have to then do a git pull from upstream to then try and test the new one, or do you have a development repository within OBS that people can take a package from, test it, and provide feedback?
Currently, we have within OBS, we try to be as up to date as possible. So we have packages, most recent packages for Luminous, and we already have packages for Mimic. The Mimic was branched off 2 weeks ago or so. So we have current packages. What we don't have is up to date right now packages from master. So we don't build masters for every change. So we build them regularly, I don't know, once or twice a week, something like that, but not every day. So if you want to up to date right now, then you would have to check out from GitHub. More questions? So I think we have time left, so yeah, questions. Or is everyone totally confused, or you can ask a general question if you would like. Otherwise, I don't want to steal your time. We can also wrap up. So, last chance. Then, thank you very much for attending this presentation, and thanks to Laura for helping me with.
Having me.